welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Warsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the heat-seeking Koopa Shell. The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Transform into Bullet Bill and crush you.
Oh, Bullet Bill, is that the name of that?
Heck yeah.
Oh, that's good.
He's one of my favorite. Him and Bob Bomb. I love me some Bob Bomb. And the Chain Chomps. You remember the Chain Chomps?
When, at what point did they start to explain the names of these? Because I feel like I went my entire childhood and then, like, it wasn't until, like, Donkey Kong Country.
No, you ignored reality.
Ignored reality? Was it painfully obvious?
They were in all the instruction booklets and all the Nintendo Power magazines. I would read articles in old Nintendo Powers, when they were new Nintendo Powers, about their process for inventing games, for inventing the characters and things, and people would fight for their ideas. And it was all, you know, articles to sell Nintendo
games.
But
I'm not too far off in my assumption that if you just played the game, you did not, it was easy for you to not know what a Koopa was.
Oh, yeah. Or even
whatever the mushroom guys,
Luigi.
What were their names?
What do you mean?
I know Luigi. Come on, no. What's the did the mushroom guy
Toad?
Have a name?
No, Toad?
Not that Toad. I mean the
Goombas?
Yes, there it is. See, they did have a
really?
Name.
Really? You couldn't pull it or you didn't know?
I didn't know it in this instant, and I didn't know any of that stuff until Donkey Kong Country.
Got it.
I didn't know anybody.
Goombas
had a
were
name.
Not in Donkey Kong Country.
Because Donkey Kong Country was before Mario Kart, which is why I brought this up.
No, that is not true.
Because Donkey Kong Country was the 64, or
no, the Donkey Kong Country was the 16, was the SNES. But so was Mario.
Really,
Kart.
That 3D platform? I thought that was later.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty confident about that.
Google.
Let's see.
I can tell you confidently, Mario.
I believe
Donkey
you.
Kong Country was.
I believe
on
you, but I feel like it's not. There's no payoff until
just go home and Google,
and then I will know. Donkey.
Although,
you know what? Here's the thing. I'm only going to say this for everybody who's listening live and has obviously recorded this as a podcast, because that would encompass everybody in the Venn diagram.
Yeah, I was going to say, why?
I just made a circle out of a Venn diagram. But my point
is, it's just two overlapping circles.
My new bit, my new character will be guy who doesn't think Kevin is right about the thing he knows more than anything. That'll be like.
That's the opposite of your normal bit, though.
I know, but
you
it's
always
fun.
Believe me.
It's fun. It's fun for me to always be like,
I feel like,
no,
I know, I feel like that's less fun for me.
It's not always fun for you.
I have those friends, and that's why I choose you.
1994, let's see, Donkey Kong Country is a 1994 platform game developed by Rare, published by Nintendo for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is exactly what you said.
It is exactly what
now,
I said.
Now, this is Wikipedia.
Yeah, so it could be wrong.
I don't think it's right.
Yeah.
I think
anybody can write on there.
Anybody.
I can sometimes go in and edit like Colin Powell and just be like, and I want to reference Colin Powell every week now.
Is that going to be your character?
That's my,
can we have as many characters as possible?
That I am the son of Colin Powell.
Can you be? You know who I'd like to do a podcast with? Colin Powell super fan. Guy who's just super obsessed.
I don't think
with
we want that guy on the show.
I do.
Maybe a different show.
Just imagine a superpower where you have an ability to bring somehow, like we're talking about Mario Kart,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's just like
now.
I wish I knew more about Colin Powell. So you know what? I got an idea.
No, don't Google it. No, stay on track. Stay on track.
Because
tell me about Mario Kart.
Just like,
tell me about Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is like Colin always says.
He's like, a big time gamer. Ex-patriot.
That would be fun. So the reason I started down this path, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping around.
Or
on
would
us
you
on
say
topic.
This track?
Ooh, well put.
Yeah.
My sons, as I've said many a time on this show, is that they like watching other people play games, and it's like rock and roll music to me in the 50s, where it's just like I don't get it. Even though
I'm sorry, where you, oh I see, got it.
I spent a lot of time watching people play games as a child myself, but I felt like because I was in the room with them,
yeah.
And then there's like, well, there's characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, they did as the annoying orange.
Yeah,
they
that guy's been those. Around for decades.
But here's what's funny is that there, and I talked about the guy who played Minecraft, and he even made like gloves to make himself like Iron Man.
Yeah.
And he made these scenes where he was moving real gloves in front of a screen and then would shoot things, which was like, I'm watching. I was like, wow.
That's pretty funny.
That takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And it was well timed,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
My
it's amazing how much free time we have.
All right. Yeah. My son's reaction to it was so like, I can't see the game with his big hands in the way. So they don't
just
care.
Just go watch the game. That's what Twitch is for.
That's what. And oh, if they find if there's a Twitch app, there's got to be there is Amazon a Fire. App. They can just watch that.
It's
all
on the
time.
PlayStation for sure. I don't know about the Fire.
But point is that they were watching people play Mario Kart 64.
Yeah.
And they were loving it. And they're watching it. They're watching it. It's so weird to me to say this out loud. They're watching it like it's a race you're watching. The way I would watch a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
But and
they get that invested.
Yes. Yeah. They're like, oh, he's in third place. Oh, no. Oh, it's the final lap. Like, they're sitting there. And then they go, oh, he's got a banana. Oh, he almost hit that banana. Like, they're doing.
But this is not crazy. I mean, there are tournaments for games. There's tournaments for that game where you watch people play and you get invested.
I get it. And that's the thing is I'm watching this. And at first, the old man with his pants up around his sternum that's like, this rock and roll music is the devil's music, was sitting there listening, watching this. And I'm going, this isn't real racing. You want to see a race? Here's what you do. You watch 4 hours. You guys driving in a circle. Now they're going 200 miles an hour, but it's going to look like they're doing five. And that's exciting because they're all bunched up together in any minute, but most likely not. But any minute, even though the odds are very slim, any minute, all those cars can get tangled up and then there could be a fire. And I'm sitting there going,
why is that not a game?
I would much rather. I was like, this race is 10,000 times more exciting than NASCAR, which is the highest viewed, spectated sport in the world.
That continues to bother me.
America. Yeah. So stop your tweet. Put down your Twitter
machine. Sorry, I've already Twittered.
Damn it. Too late. So then that got me thinking this question.
Can I race in NASCAR?
And can my gimmick be I throw bananas out the back of the car and I act like that's going to mess them up? I wonder if a banana would mess you up doing 164, even if you got a 30-degree bank turn.
Yeah, it's going to do some bad. There's something bad would happen.
And then my catchphrase could be slippin's racing.
That's
like rubbin's racing, but not really.
I don't get it.
Yeah, rubbin' racing from Days of Thunder, the worst stock car racing movie of all time.
That was a ride at Great
America. Also the best.
Okay. Yeah. And also the only one.
And also, well, there's Talladega Nights. Just so Will Ferrell could go, I did it too. Yeah. But is there another game, like a Mario Kart, right, where it's a spinoff, it's a license of a game that has gone toe-to-toe with its spinner offer.
Oh, I see.
That's a technical term that I made up.
You know, it's funny that you said that because back when we did one of our question of the most profitable franchises, Wikipedia agreed and separated Mario Kart from Mario
Brothers.
They had it as its own franchise because I imagine if you poured the two together, the numbers would have been astronomical.
And one could argue if I was a smarter podcaster, I would have noticed this connection then.
Or just, you know, games in general.
Right. I mean,
the information's on the table. Because when you mentioned it earlier, it made me think of League of Legends, right? Which was people playing Warcraft 3 and then going, oh, here's a mod we can do. And then release it and realizing that they were getting so much traction that they then licensed, because Blizzard will sell
that. Is League of Legends the superhero one?
No, League of Legends is...
Pretty sure it's the superhero one.
Oh, don't Google it, please.
I'm pretty
please
sure.
Oh, he's going to
I feel like I know...
I regret everything.
I regret everything.
Yes. You and me too. No. League of Legends is so Blizzard licensed their a lot of their assets off, which is why you'll see a lot of apps with old Warcraft 3 graphics and mechanics in them, because this is a really easy tool that they make available. But they also, when they release Warcraft 3, there's a built-in editor, so people would get really nerdy and build the game that became League of Legends, which is the champion arena, the MOA style game. I can't think, multiplayer online arena. So that game became so popular that then Riot Games was formed and they made League of Legends an official licensed property. And then Blizzard looked at that and said, hey, there's money on the table. So they made Heroes of the Nexus. It's the same game. but using their property instead of made up stuff.
Here's a interesting side note behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I went to go Google what League of Legends was,
yeah.
and evidently I have already been to leagueoflegends.com at some point it's in my come ownership up. Of this
we've,
computer.
We've talked about it before.
I should listen to the show. It sounds like a really
we have really good segments. Really it's very informative, show. And yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on yeah. on it. It's fantasy.
I don't really like video games.
But I got to go. I need the sound of the door. It's actually pretty squeaky. Can you hear it?
No. Wait, hold on. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it is. I got a WD-40 that.
Oh, that's pretty great.
I got it. So we got League of Legends. Yeah. I'm gonna skim through the chat room. I don't know if you saw anything.
But your question is, has a franchise birthed, not been stolen by, but birthed another franchise that has equaled it? And the answer is Dr. Mario. You gotta love
that was such
Dr. Mario.
Am I already misremembering that? Because that was I felt like that was Nintendo going, we can also have Tetris, even though we already have Tetris.
Yeah.
Like, let's Mario Thief Tetris.
Yeah,
and
why
make
not?
It not as
well,
fun.
It was because their puzzle games were popular, so they licensed the thing. You know what the actual answer is? Mario, because Mario is a spinoff. Of Donkey
oh.
Kong.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you.
It's like looking at a mirror inside a mirror.
You played as Donkey Kong against the miserly Mario. And then later they made Mario and then so on.
Wait. So originally you were the monkey?
Yeah. Weren't you the monkey?
No, you were Mario trying to get the princess, the same princess.
That's fair.
Which, by the way, this princess, man, she gets.
I was thinking
by
of Donkey Kong Jr.
Yes.
You were. Mario was the
Well,
villain.
I think. And then when Donkey Kong. Junior or Don? Well, maybe I don't know. Any point is, this princess, she gets taken by.
It's a different woman.
Oversized apes.
Different woman.
Different woman.
Yeah, you see, you don't know the names of the characters, but yes, it's a different woman. It starts with a P. It's like Penelope or Petunia or something. You can Google that one, but I know it's not Peach.
You know it's not. I'm pretty sure. It's
no,
Peach.
I'll put money on that one.
I'm pretty sure that you're wrong, though. I think
this
I feel
is
like
so far. Someone suggested Spyro. Birth Skylanders, and definitely Skylanders has overtaken Spyro. I'm sorry. I know that's hollowed ground. Thanks, Vince, for a lot of people, because we're anticipating the Spyro HD remasters, and there are fans of ours that hate the fact that Skylanders has trampled on such an important game of their childhood. But you have to admit, when a game makes $7 billion, it has overtaken its little brother.
It is Pauline.
I was close.
Ryan in the chat room and Tasmanian, and I think everyone else, just by scrolling through, everybody else knows.
Oh, wow. And
everybody
Pauline.
In the chat room is more qualified to be your sidekick than me, then.
No, you're not my sidekick. You're my straight man.
Am I?
See, the part of the show is me educating you. You don't realize, but this is a gamer's intervention. It's what we've been doing for 4 years.
I'm trying to
get you to play more games. I am always trying to get you to buy new games and experience new stuff. Try to play with you more.
How's it going so far?
Really good. I think we're close to you playing a game soon.
Really? Which, by the way, the guilt that I had. Kevin recently reached out to me and said, we're playing Plants vs. Zombies. Yep. You want to do this? And I wanted to. I wanted to get to the communal part of it.
But why? You made the right choice.
But I go, listen, I've got about an hour and a half tops.
Yeah.
And I actually got 45 minutes. And I said,
even worse.
I want to play this Assassin's Creed.
I'm proud of you.
It's so good.
I'm proud of you.
It's so good. They've taken everything that gets clunky about Assassin's Creed and they fixed it in this Origins game.
Mm.
I really, and it's, I'm chomping at the bit now. Because I've got the bug to get to Mass Effect Andromeda. I think I like the Mass Effect genre.
The space.
A little bit more than I like Assassin's Creed.
You got to do all that so you can eventually play Destiny with me.
I know.
Two.
I'm not good at this.
And Plants vs. Zombies. So we have been deep into Plants vs. Zombies. In fact, we rearranged our living room so the TV is closer to the couch so we can play Plants vs. Zombies with greater ease. Because in split screen mode in Garden Warfare 2, it gets really hard to read what's going on the screen.
Well, are you doing just two split screens or could you get three on that one?
You can only do two in that game. Three, there's speculation that there's a third game coming. So this is an older game. It's about 2 years old. But it is phenomenal. And my son, it is great to watch him.
Also a spinoff of the kind of strategy game of an iPad.
Of the
huh?
same game. Yeah. Like it.
But it's not. I feel like Plants vs. Zombies that we're talking about on the PSN, I'm sure it's on Xbox, is more of like a, it's kind of like Call of Duty meets Plants vs. Zombies.
My guess, this is pure speculation, but my guess is that somebody looked around and went, hey, this Plants vs. Zombies IP is really good.
Yes.
Also, kids enjoy playing first-person shooter games, but there's nothing, like, it's really not okay for them to be playing Modern Warfare. Yeah. Let's put our hands together. I have a feeling, and it's somebody who was like very craftedly developed it, and the game does well because it combines so many wonderful elements. This sticker shop thing, it is incredible to see my son come alive at the goal of collecting money so that he can buy stickers to unlock characters. Every time we turn the game on, the first thing he wants to do is flip through the digital pages of his sticker books. Nothing has changed since the last time he's played it, but he just likes to look at this collection that he has there.
Genetic copy of you.
It's amazing.
Is that what happens when you see that? Do you kind of sit there and go, that you are my son?
Yeah, like in those moments. Because it's funny. So today he was hanging out in my study while I was trying to get some work, and he was being a good kid. He's five, so it's easy to get squirrely, and he's being totally quiet. And he was entertaining himself by looking through a plastic bin in my closet of toys that I've been keeping since the 80s. And he's like, I'm just looking. And he was, for several minutes, just quietly, like, observing through the plastic. I was like, all right, I get it. So I brought out my box, in that box, of Toxic Crusader characters, of which I have like five or six plus other things.
Oh, I want to see those again.
I thought that he would spend the time having adventures. All he wanted to do was assemble them because they have they have a helmet, and then there's a ship that you have to build, it's in pieces, and so he wants to connect all the different accessories because I was an awesome kid and I kept all my accessories. Oh, yes. The Toxic Crusaders, based on the B-horror movie Toxic Avengers. Because you remember when, like, there was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, no, it's not Swamp Thing, huh? It's just, now I remember,
it's the Toxic Avengers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go.
I remember this.
It's super inappropriate material for kids to enjoy in the 80s, and I've passed it on to my son. '80s glam rock, come on.
So good.
They were definitely not the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, right?
Very different. Because it was based on like a B-rate kind of Flesh Gordon kind of movie. And it's same thing with Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I don't know why.
Oh, this is so good.
Did you watch the show?
Oh, yeah. I remember the Mop, yep.
Yeah, the Mop was a character.
But the Mop wasn't that same way in the movie.
No, the cartoon kind of nerfed it a little, made it slightly more, because there were definitely like beer jokes and boob jokes.
Oh, that's so good.
So anyway, back to Plants vs. Zombies. My son is way into it, and I realized, I'm like, oh, maybe I should be getting him like an official sticker collection. And I was like, you idiot. Why do you want to spend money? This is the best place we could possibly be. I don't want him getting addicted to spending real money that we have to go to the store to every week. What we get to do is play a video game, and I'm trying to teach him about currency and spending all your money, and it's all in a game, and he's feeling the hurt in real time. I really want this sticker, but I really want this. I'm like, there's no way of knowing. It's so great. But then the game is stupid deep for being so simple. You have these, you unlock these characters as you play.
There's fun missions. When I started seeing
the missions are hilarious. Yes. And so I wanted to ask you, did your kids ever start to grind to get the legendary characters in it?
No.
So you never bothered with any of that
stuff.
This
is where they're my offspring, in that they have things that they like to do, which was just basically shoot zombies. They went through months of that.
It just in the background, because they have this great open world backyard mode where you just, as soon as you turn it on, you can just walk out there and just start killing zombies for no reason.
You pick either a plant or a
plants.
Zombie.
Yeah.
And then there
are like seven classes, and then you unlock characters within them, which are variations of them. So you can have the chompy piranha plant, or you can unlock the fire-breathing chompy piranha plant, or the metal.
And then each day for a day, I think they had a new character that you could just
have. They don't do that anymore. But
Because I remember they would want to come home from school to see which character they had that day.
Now it's a week. You have access to it for free.
Oh, okay.
And then you can buy it at a discounted rate.
Well, maybe they just misunderstood. Point is, They did that, and then there was a phase of fighting because the one would want to be on the zombie side, the other one would want to be on the plant side,
fun.
And then, but they didn't like it when because the older one would obviously kill the younger one a lot.
And what did he want to be, zombies?
No, it would change.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it would change. They went through a phase where they really liked the football zombie player, if memory serves, and then there was a phase where they really liked the corn, and then the orange was also a good one. And then they went through a phase where they started doing the missions with it. And my understanding is it's like there's just a war.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of circle around. You stumble upon a mission. You could activate that mission and play it out.
There are small ones like that. There are little side missions. But then there's a core series of
like
quests.
A campaign.
That you do, on either side. There's no dialogue, which is part of the charm, but I think it also hinders it because you have to be able to read.
Yes.
And again, the text is super small. I look forward to the third game being a drastic improvement over those details because it was clear they were dabbling. But some of the jokes in that thing are hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
And what's amazing about their ability in those campaigns and the characters is how well they are balanced between them. They're not clones of each other. There's not the mid-range guy on the plants and a mid-range guy on the zombies. There's not the healer guy over here. Those are in sweeping generalizations, but the way they play, the skills that are available for each of the plant version versus the zombie version are drastically different. So you don't end up with like two different types of skins.
Ooh.
You end up with two dozen characters in two very different types of play modes, and then seemingly countless, or more than I'm bothering to count, variations on those classes of unlockable characters that you also can level up.
And then you can also unlock, like, hats and stuff for them, right?
And
those all have upgrade elements,
and
too.
And it's such a great casual game for us because I log in with my five-year-old son. We go into multiplayer mode. I can toggle off all the kids going, I know it! Just turn that noise off. Because I don't know why it's like that.
That is the equivalent of the guy playing rap music in the back, like round of Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you got to hear his boombox.
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking.
Yeah.
So because it's so casual, like I don't worry for him. We can change the level of gameplay so it's not overly difficult for a five-year-old. But then I'll just find, we'll be in these mass 20-on-20 things. And I'll find some other, like, either a nep dad or five-year-old playing the game. I'm like, hey, I can tell you don't know what you're doing. Pew, 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 pew. Blow them up. And it's not terrible. Whereas, like, if I go and play Overwatch, it's, like, competitive.
Yeah.
And if you're not on the ball, you're letting your team down. And you know, it's not really – training is – you should be learning how to do that in training. Don't do that in the mode
it's
over here.
It's a bubblegum shooter. It's like, I'm just going to play
great.
This.
Yeah. But it's not I don't know, Kirby's World is what came to mind because you said bubblegum. Not that Kirby isn't cool, but like, zombies' heads roll off.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like, plants die. Some of the jokes are a little edgy. And so I think it's a wonderful game that everyone should play. And the reason why I was curious to see if your sons had done it, because the stuff to unlock the legendary character, there's one for each side, is very challenging.
Give me an example of a legendary character. Maybe
so there's two. There, one is a tree stump. His name for the plant side, and his name is Torchwood, and he's a giant stumbling tree trunk, and he's like a super tank. And then on the zombie side, I think because of development limitations, it's just a goat, which is another playable thing that you can do
if you're
transformed to. Yeah, I didn't think so. So what happens is you have to collect 25 gold stars, which is a significant amount of gold stars, to then buy a key that allows you to open up this gnome room. Then to open up the doors within the gnome room, you need no less than 50 rainbow stars, which you only get through playing multiplayer matches. You get 3 for losing a match, 5 for winning a match. So you have to play a minimum of 10 winning matches just to open up one of the doors. Inside of the door is an epic boss battle that you must place. When it's finished, that's not true. Inside of the door is an impossible jumping puzzle. I opened it. I was like, oh, look at it. It's just some jumping. I'm like, I turned to Kat, my wife. I'm like, I wonder how long this is going to take. It took me 3 days of learning. It was
when
like,
you got it. Did she say it took you 3 days?
Yeah. I was like, I just kept telling myself I have nothing better to do right now. I have nothing better to do. I'm going to master this. I kind of tweaked my back, how I was sitting, watching, playing this game. So once you get get that, you unlock, you get a chest, that then you get a code above it that you have to take into a room, activate that code on a portal that then unlocks an epic boss battle. You do that three times with three different boss battles and three different jumping puzzles, and then you use the codes to match up inside of another room, which initiates another boss battle, which you can then unlock two of the two chests that require 75 rainbow stars each to unlock. It's a legendary character.
Now, once you get to this chest, you own the chest, and then you just keep it until you get the 75 stars, or is it?
Yeah, you have access to the star. No, you have access to you can get to it at any time. Yeah, so you're accruing rainbow stars, but you can only have 50 rainbow stars at a time. So it's not like you can cash a bunch of rainbow stars. Oh, and the best part, the only way,
get 75 if you only have,
you get 50, go unlock the chest, come back and get more. But here's the best part: you can only accrue rainbow stars from Thursday to Sunday.
Wow.
And you can only open up one of the chests to get to the keys once per weekend. So getting a legendary character takes no less than 5 weeks in order to unlock.
Wow.
By design. This is a complex game that is also extremely accessible to children.
And that's why it's like $40 on the PlayStation.
That's why it's like $60.
Oh, it was 60 bucks?
It was 60 new.
I got it on sale.
It was a premier AAA game.
But I think maybe I did pay 60.
You probably did. Because as soon as I saw your kids playing it, I almost went home and bought it. I was like, I can't justify that because no one but me is going to play it. My kid was too young.
Yeah. But now they love it.
Now they love it. Both of them play it all the time. That and Disney Infinity. It's a brand new world.
Good times.
Did I nerd out? That was a lot of nerding out.
Isn't that the point?
Oh, it's so great. I have so much to tell you when we come back about the newest project that I'm the voice of in.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. It's going to be great.
Oh, you know, boy. Listen to that. Plus, exciting. That's not right. That's the one I want.
I'm also stoked to play Stump with you today. And, of course, we're going to hear more from my parallel universe of Star Wars.
All right. Let's do it. Bitch, I do. Britney, bitch.
Is it funny how Taylor Swift is following her career almost to the letter of like good girl gone bad. Taylor's like, oh, good girl. And then bad. So like her last album was all about Shake It Off. Don't let the haters hate. And new song is Look What You Made Me Do. Like, what happened, Taylor?
But I don't remember. I've always been interested about this. And I think a big part of it is that Taylor Swift seems too comfortable in her skin.
Mm.
By this, I mean, I don't think people.
I thought you had a clip. I'm like, how did you do that?
Watch this, guys. Shake it off. You know, we got bad blood. I don't remember people hating Britney Spears.
Oh, they
other
did.
Than, no, but hold on. Other than to say that she's not a real artist. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, there's not the same
that's fair.
Vitriol.
I see what you're saying. Where the polarization
Taylor Swift has been able to do. In my opinion, the Donald Trump of pop music.
That's pretty accurate.
You know what I mean? That it's like, you either really like her.
Yeah.
Or you really hate her, not a lot of in between.
And either way, you're buying her albums.
Exactly. That's a good point. Either either way, you're living in a world where she's there and she's going to let you know about it. Like, you can't walk the world. Nobody in this planet has ever gone like, Taylor who?
Taylor
what now?
She's the snake, right?
Yeah.
So I was in a new game.
Oh, congrats.
Did I tell you this?
No.
In the winter, I had a friend that was like, oh, I got a buddy that can help you in a pinch. So they called me in to be in this fantastic game called Dynasty Warriors 9.
Ooh.
It's a big title available on the PlayStation and the Xbox, I believe. Are you familiar with the Dynasty Warrior games at all?
The name sounds familiar, so I'm going to say yes.
So what's interesting about it is that it was written by, it's a Japanese company that makes it, but it's this particular Dynasty Warriors is all about the wars in China, the, like ancient feudal China, and so they would take the time to educate the audience on the history of these wars, and some of these wars are epic. The battles that they had, they're recorded really well, so they know like, oh, this one general flooded the town, like, you know, these really inventive ways of winning. Now in reality, the flood was probably like, you know, maybe 6 inches of water that they were able to get in and kind of ruin, or maybe it did eventually wash them out, but it probably took, you know, weeks, if not months, of rerouting a river. But of course, in the game, it's, what's that sound? Oh no! Water! Flood and Noah and death and die! That's not how it is. But the game, so it is an interesting mix of like fantasy with history. The most notable is if you watch all the videos, as you play as the lead characters, you walk into these battles and you take this giant pole and you swing it, and
that's why I remember this.
50 guys go flying.
This is their thing, right? Yeah, it's like a button mashing fight game where you just get to,
but historically accurate button mashing fight game.
And see, that's the part that they should be mentioning.
Yeah.
Stop it.
In all of the, if you watch the promos on the PS4, they show the button mashing fight stuff. They don't mention much of the history or the character development or all that happens. I'm just a simple background character. I think my official title was Carefree Soldier. And if you play the game, I'm the one that's like, hey, actually it was ironic because most of the time I spend my time being terrified of something that's going on. Oh, help. Oh no, we're all going to die. Or I'm going to throw up in this bucket. So I don't know what he was carefree of, but it was a lot of fun and cool to get back in the booth.
This looks really cool.
And it's like, a decent little game.
I remember when I was looking back at the old titles, I didn't know the historical part of it, but I think I remember seeing that it had to be PlayStation 2 when I saw it.
Yeah, I think it's been around.
And it was like you, if you want to just have a ton of guys around you and just F them up, this is the game for you.
Yeah, I think I'd like to get it.
Look, I mean, look at, you're literally just a one man running around. There's an army around you. There's an army. And then there's like platoons just standing there waiting for you to come crush them with your gigantic blade on a stick.
But also there's betrayal, intrigue, and strategy.
All of that. How many times you press the circle button?
Too many.
Too many.
I think it's actually, I was like, come on, guys. That's enough circle button touching.
Wouldn't that be funny if that was like, that was your thing? You know what I mean? Where it's like, man, we got it. We're doing this circle button game. You know, that's our standard thing. You know, you got to get the Kevin Miller.
Oh,
you got to get the Kevin Miller. The Kevin Miller. Why do we have it? Let's change it. No, if you're gonna do a circle button game, the Kevin Miller is your guy. I heard he was out of the game. He'd retired. No, we're pulling him back in.
As you were saying that, I had images of us selling T-shirts that say press the circle button and you're supposed to wear it and just jump and take a picture of yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun meme.
That'd be good.
I look forward to that now happening.
Okay.
So
pick somebody in the chat room to make that
a reality. I'm going to drag somebody from Discord.
Yeah, and say, you're going to have to do that. Hey, speaking of dragging somebody from Discord, let's play some Stump.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
So we're
going
to do it through Discord this go-around.
Sure. That worked out really well.
The plan. All right, so here's the thing. I got to get into that room.
Dun 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 dun.
All right, we have four choices.
Okay, there's only four people in Discord
right now. Yeah, how can
I thought we were popular?
It is mixed. No, that's not. I was going to say MixLR, but that's what. What's the Discord? Isn't it?
I don't know, Grandpa. Channel? You got all the buttons to press, and that's not rock and roll music.
I was trying to plug it so people would know what to get.
Discord. I had that removed back in '88.
Ryan says he's printing T-shirts now. Ryan, I need you to stop printing T-shirts and give me the link for the Discord so people know how to add this when they're listening as a podcast. I want to tune in live Mondays at 8 p.m. Pacific. Although tonight we spent a lot of time talking beforehand.
We were in a pre-production.
Oh, that's right. bit.ly/GamerlandDiscord. That's great. bit.ly/GamerlandDiscord. So if you
and Jeremy,
play,
I see you in the chat room saying it's just Stump. It is not just Stump. It's just Stump. No, damn it.
It's the just Stump game.
Nah.
You got Dog Dragon Lover, Mahogany Vince, Officer Gelatin, or Ryan Bodash.
Let's get Vince in there. We haven't heard from Vince
before.
All right,
Vince, we're going to drag him in, and then we click here. And say hello, Vince. Are you there? Oh, helps if I turn this
on. Oh, Vince.
Vince, now we can hear you. Yeah, buddy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good tonight.
Vince, we've never had you on the show. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct.
Yeah, but I'm very familiar. We've become friends via the social media channels. I'm excited to stump you tonight with the game of Stump.
Did you see my little physical twitch that I had over here, Kevin?
No, what did you do?
When you said we never had the show, and he said, no, you've not. I was very tempted to...
Oh, yeah, That'd be good.
And what's great is that now I figured out the mechanics is that I can hit the hang up button and then I just mute the pot on the board. So now
finally.
Vince is there laughing hysterically, thinking he's just been hung up on. But now he's back.
Oh, he's back. All right.
Welcome laughing back, hysterically?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm here. I'm ready.
Hey, Vince,
I am laughing hysterically. Can you hear it?
Vince, nobody likes sarcasm, all right?
Oh, sure they don't.
Sarcasm. Don't laugh at that.
Oh, good for you.
Vince, are you familiar?
Oh, good for you.
Last week, our stump focused on the first three generations of games. Tonight, we had talked about doing the fourth, fifth, and sixth generation of game consoles. Instead, we're going to focus on just the fourth generation of consoles. Vince, what year were you born?
I was born in 1995.
So right around the time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got stumped.
Of the end of the fourth generation of consoles. So this is going to go well.
This is going to go great.
I'm going to destroy you.
But here's the deal. All you Justin's going to be asked the questions. All you have to do is agree or disagree with Justin.
No, I don't like this new rule.
I love this new rule. It is so much fun, and it's fair for our fans. How do you feel about it, Vince?
I wanted a definitive winner.
Well, you will be the definitive winner.
I don't want to agree with them or disagree with them. I wanted to be right or wrong.
Well, that's how you do it. You either get a point for agreeing or not. So here we go.
Hold on a second. If I agree with him, I get a point no matter what?
No. That's not the game. It's if Justin is right and you agree with him, you both get a point. If Justin is wrong and you disagree with him, he gets no points, you get a point.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe.
The 16-bit microprocessor and stereo audio are hallmarks of the fourth generation, as well as parallax scrolling.
He's dead.
That creates depth. Large sprites, it was also marked by big sales and huge IPs like Mario and his rival now turned buddy Sonic. Sometimes called the 16-bit era began on October 30th, 1987. Justin, by what console launched the fourth generation of consoles?
I know the answer.
Okay.
I know in the past I've gotten them incorrect.
Yes.
But I know this one. In 1987,
October 30th.
None other than the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo, final answer.
Okay. Vince, do you agree or disagree with Justin?
Well, I can't really think of any other console that would have launched before that, so I have to agree.
That's correct. You are both wrong.
I don't want to hurt your feelings. I just want you to be sorry that you exist.
Thank you, Pastor Justin. Yes, it was the TurboGrafx-16.
Oh,
TurboGrafx-16.
Nobody knows what that is.
No, they all know what that is.
No, because, hold on. I'm checking.
No, you can't. You can't check.
I'm looking right now. Nobody knows. Justin, everybody's just like, good luck. Atari 7200. That's
Come
Matthew.
On.
He's the gray-haired man of the chat room.
Listen, these are the rules. I don't make them. I just enforce them.
Classic and rock love.
After I make
this
them.
I also want to be this guy. This is the worst game ever. This is so stupid.
It's like the opposite of you. All right, so here's the second question. It's about your favorite console, the TurboGrafx-16.
Oh, I love it. You know, it's a funny story. I had two of them.
Right before I got my Super Nintendo.
I had 32 bits with it.
All right, how many TurboGrafx-16 games were there, Justin? How many TurboGrafx-16 games
were there? Now, I know I got this wrong before, but this time, dead serious. All right, Vince, dead serious. Yeah. I know this. Mm. As many there are as many games as there are bits. There were 16 games.
16 games.
16.
All right, so here's how it worked, Vince. You have to agree or disagree with Justin, but I'm going to give you a 10% variance.
What?
So
what
10% variance.
Mean?
So he said 16. 10% of that means is the answer between 14 and 18. All right, so do you agree with Justin that it's between 14 and 18, or do you disagree?
Or do you want to win the game and just say he's absolutely spot on?
You know, I don't know. I got to say I disagree this time.
Oh, no.
Vince, you are correct.
Oh.
Also, remember, there is no Googling, Vince.
He did Google.
There was a note
of
Googling.
If you got to Google to find out if you should agree with me or not, then you're a moron.
Googling involved for saying no.
Then you deserve Oystein's love.
Vince, you have one point. Well done. All right, question number three. out of 213.
One point out of two. You're
yeah.
All right. So the fourth generation of console saw the first handheld system with a full color display, LCD color display.
Ooh.
Justin, what was that full color LCD handheld system?
Yeah, I want to say, and here's the thing. In the past, I've said things like, I know the answer, okay? And I think if you were to go back, we don't need to get statistics on this, but I'm pretty sure that if you went back, my batting average has not been above average, okay? This time, I do not know the answer, okay? I'll take just a shot in the dark.
All right.
And I'm going to say it's the Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color, final answer.
Final answer. Vince, do you agree or disagree?
I gotta disagree.
Disagree. You are correct, Vince.
Son of a... It's a stupid game.
Wow, this game is easier than I thought.
There
I
you go.
Tyler lost.
Do you know the name of the system?
Oh, it's so weird. I don't know how that happened. That's so strange. It's, you'd think with an internet server he couldn't do that. Anyway, all right.
Vince, do you know the name of the system?
But if I had to make a guess, I would say it's like the Atari Lynx.
You would have been correct. Yes, it was the Atari Lynx. I also don't know if I corrected earlier, but the TurboGrafx-16 had 140 games, including Bonk's Adventure.
Uh-oh, we got Ryan in the chat room is saying the Gamer Gear was before the Lynx, which was it the was game. Not, that was the thing I was trying to... It was the Sega. Gamer Gear was the
yes,
Sega.
Yes, it was, but it was not the first full-color LCD screen. Thanks for playing. You're not in the game.
get fucked, Ryan.
Yeah. Did you know Bonk's Adventure for the TurboGrafx-16? Do you remember Bonk's Adventure?
Yes.
He was a caveman.
Constantly.
Yeah, with your TurboGrafx-16.
I've had two of them, not just one.
Moving on. This generation also saw the Philips CDI console.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Marking the time. Congratulations, Vince. You are now a drop. Justin, how much did the Philips CDI console retail for?
Oh, boy. The Philips CDI console.
I'm going to go down in Gamerland history.
Welcome to the Pantheon.
Now, here's the thing. Before, I have said things like, I know the answer, and I've also said, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, you've said,
This one is one of those two options.
Yeah, that's very true.
But I feel like if I tell you which one, it may accidentally... I play this for the love of the game, Kevin. Mm, we all know that.
Yeah,
and I may show my hand, if you would, to use magician speak. And I may accidentally...
Thanks for unpacking that. What is the answer? How much did it retail for?
It's commonly hidden a fact is
$199.
And I mean $199.
No, I understand.
Not $1.99.
I understand. So
this
Vince,
is not a Dollar Tree type item.
10% variance. Is Justin correct that it is between $180 and $220?
No.
Vince, you are correct. It is actually the most expensive console ever to date at $700 retail. Yeah,
AJ Assassin in the chat room nailed it.
Yeah, 807. There it is, $700. $700 for the base system. This is because they claimed it was a multi-platform piece that you could also watch your CDs on. I don't know why.
If I had a nickel for as many times as I watched Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract album, I watched that like crazy.
As many times as you own
I don't know about you guys, but The Flowers of Robert Mapplethorpe, probably one of my favorite games ever.
Oh, all right. Are you Googling things?
No.
Vince is Googling. No.
Stuff, because the Angry Video Game Nerd had a whole episode on the Philips CDI.
Oh, that's true. He did. All right.
Wait, is that another podcast?
Yeah. Nope. That's true.
Yeah.
I can verify that.
So now I'm really hanging up on him.
We are a community. There's community. Fine. All right, Justin, for all the marbles. So we're going to
make this guy on our show?
Yeah, I like. No. Okay. That's weird.
He wouldn't like me?
All right, so this question is worth 3 points. Vince has 3 correct. Ooh. You have none, so this is your chance to tie it up.
Okay,
here you go. The Neo Geo was also...
Now, if you go to the Bob Brandenburg School of Game Shows, you know I can win it all right here.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
So just by tying it up, I feel like you're failing him.
Okay, then it's worth 5 points.
Unless there's a tiebreaker that I can also win.
Yeah, it'll be, what am I number am I thinking of?
Perfect.
All right, we'll make it worth 5 points.
Uh-oh.
So
all
the
right,
Neo Geo...
I would like to stop this this for a second, based on the rules that Kevin has laid down, all I have to do is agree with you, and no matter what, I would win, because we would both get either 5 points or no points.
Mm, yes, you're correct. Way to spot that, Vince. I was trying to help. I was trying to keep Justin invested.
Remember before we had Vince on the show and we liked him? Yeah. Remember that?
Do you see how quickly I admitted to Justin's addendum and then moved through so he wouldn't spot that, Vince? You just... Oh, man.
Guys, you shouldn't have production meetings about the show during the show. I hate to be a stickler.
All right, Vince, you're back on the board. Here we go. The Neo Geo was the first...
Oh, my favorite!
Oh, really? Well, here you go. It's the first and only... MVS. What did MVS stand for?
Oh. I mean.
Here's the game thing. Stump.
A lot of times I've taken hits on this show.
Yeah.
For people saying offensive things. Like.
I hit you with my car. I'm a millennial.
And. Yeah. All I have to do is agree with Justin, and I win, no matter what.
Yeah.
and I'm not gonna talk to the haters. I'm gonna listen to Taylor Swift. And I'm gonna shake it off.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna move on. And what I'm gonna say is, it stands for mobile video system.
Mobile videos. Is that
that's
final answer?
That right there, final answer.
All right, Vince, do you agree or disagree?
You know. Think I gotta agree.
Oh, you guys were so close. You were so close. It stands for multi-video system. But Justin, you could probably tell us why, because your guess was super close.
Because it was the fun of it was that it was bridging your home gaming system with the arcade. So you had a memory card that you could take with you to the arcade, and you could pay money for God knows why.
Yeah.
And plug in and pick up your game and play it and then unplug it and then take it home and play it at as well.
The other thing that was the reason why this system existed, this multi-video system, and what it actually refers to is that in the back of the arcade console were four cartridge slots. So like imagine your Super Nintendo, but with four slots. And so instead instead of buying expensive cabinets every single time a new game dropped, they would only have to buy the cartridge. And then the console was in there and you just flip out the games. So the screen would, you could maybe get a different little sign in front that would tell you what games are in it. That is far cheaper. So they eventually made this a home console, and it's like the premier only home arcade console system you can have. But to Justin's point, you would then be able to swap between the two, bridging that gap between them.
I mean, they were cool games.
Pretty fun games.
I never bought a Neo Geo, but it was like I wanted it more than the Nintendo.
I remember thinking like that's too much of an investment. I can't make that leap. Like I'll have to stay over here in Nintendo town.
And I think it also came out at right after the Sega Genesis or something. Yep. I want to say because that's what I stuck with. It was Joe Montana Football and the Sega Genesis.
And that's why the Neo Geo did not win the fourth generation. Of course, the fourth generation goes to the SNES, but second place, of course, was the Sega Genesis right there.
So, unfortunately, Vince, because you didn't score enough points, you lost the game and don't get to talk to us after the game of It's Just Stump that we play. So, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Vince, for playing.
I like your other drop better of Oh Boy, but I think it's a nice attempt. It's a nice try. Is there any other phrases you'd like to try? No, doesn't he get to ask us a question?
No, if he won, he did, but...
Oh, he didn't win?
He didn't win. Oh, I guess he did win. You're right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was doing a bit.
I kind of wish we were going with the old rules of Stump, because I still would have won.
Oh, then why are you complaining?
Yeah.
This is so weird.
By the way, is that
because the
question?
Other way is funny. Funnier. Funner. God. Holy shit. I think I'm tired.
All right.
This has been great, Vince.
All right. I dismiss him. Back to the general. Back to the general population. I remove him.
Oh, my gosh. It's so late. I have so many things to tell you. We should come back from the break.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
And now, it is time for... Thank you.
Not everybody knows that.
That was Charles Martinet, everyone.
Is he still with us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I ran him to E3 a couple years ago. He's still at consoles.
Before he passed, then, you ran into him?
Did he pass? No, he's still with us. How terrible.
I just like what that did to your face.
Oh, man. You had me. I was like, wait a minute. Was that a ghost I ran into at E3? Oh, no. So in this time period, as I've been playing so much Plants vs. Zombies with my kids, I haven't been grinding as much in Guild Wars. I'll probably play a little more this week, but I have used my, my little limited amount of data downtime in front of the Guild Wars to reminisce and reassociate myself with other characters and classes that I play with. As we've mentioned before, I am an altaholic for the game of Guild Wars 2. I like to have all of the professions. But something I haven't talked a lot about on the show is that I also like all of the different races. Justin, have I mentioned that there are different races?
Yes, you have. You have mentioned that.
Can you tell me what the five races are?
I cannot. Okay. I know that I'm sure that there's an engineer.
No, those are the professions. Those are the classes. That's what I'm saying. So there's two layers to the customization of your character that directly impact how the game is played and world exists.
So these are like the three different people you could be in Destiny? Am I missing this all up?
Yes. So in Destiny, there are three different types of classes: the warrior, the thief. What are they in Destiny? There's the warlock.
There's a magic, and then a warrior.
Yeah, warlock,
then the one that nobody cares about.
Yeah, yeah. So, but then there are also three different races that you can be in that as well in Destiny. So in Guild Wars, there are nine professions, and there are five races that you can be. One of which is the humans, as you would assume. And in the original Guild Wars, that's all you could play as were humans. But in this game, they expanded to four other races. There are the Norn that live in this Icelandic, Nova Scotian type environment with snow and things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they like to hunt. They like to wrestle. They have a lot. They have moots. They drink and they part. It's like a party with beer. But they're taller than humans. They're about 2 feet taller than a human, and they are connected to the spirit and nature around them, and they have four different spirit animals that they connect with, and an elite power for them is to transform into one of those four animals. You can become a crow or a giant bear or a giant snow leopard. A lot of them are often shirtless and tattooed, and they're pretty tough. On the other end of the spectrum... Because of all the wrestling. They're also built...
And the moting?
The mooting.
Mooting.
Don't emote. They also... Even the women have kind of deeper voices like this. they're still feminine. So imagine this.
I do me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, don't make that a drop. So the other humanoid...
Are you going to the moot?
Yeah. No, that's it. Nailed it.
I'll play 7 minutes in heaven with you at the moot.
So the other end of the humanoid race are the Silvari, and they all have British accents, but they...
How is this just now coming up? That's funny.
But their race is only about 25 years old when the game begins. They were birthed from the mother tree.
And what's their name again?
The Silvari.
Silvari are British.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the Noon... Are
Norn
are the Mooters who are Swedish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nailed
this is
it.
Easy.
Yeah.
Can't wait to do this on It's Just Stump That We Play.
The Silvari are plant people, so they all look like foliage. So their heads are like branches, and they have ears that are flowery, and they have their skin looks like bark or sometimes vine, depending on what you want them to look like. So they're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then they have elite professions that allow them to summon different enchanted plant-like things to help bless you and the people around you. Then there are two unhumanoid races. One is from the original Guild Wars that people were very excited to play, called the Char. And they are like the Klingons of the game. They are these cat creatures that are big and beefy, and they kind of run on all fours. They have long tails and crazy horns and big old musky faces with fur and everything. And they're just like... down and dirty military muscle men, and they like war. They killed their gods generations ago, so they don't even worship anybody. And that face you made, it's so
it seems so aggressive. I like to hang out with the Mooters.
They're pretty tough people, and so they live a life of like military and connected to the mission and state, and they're aggressive, and they like to expand their nation, and they're giant cats, and they talk like this. Then the final race are the Asurans, and they're tiny little dwarfish, impish things that are, I don't know, part platypus with ears. But the thing that is so appealing to them is that they are super techie, and they approach magic in the same way that Silicon Valley people approach app development.
Like Gadget?
But different.
Okay.
So they talk about, they have three different colleges, the College of Statics, Dynamics, and the other one that I forgot in this moment. Dynamics, Statics, and Synergy. And so they are always exploring magic possibilities, but they're applying that to this like super techie world, and everything they do is very organized and scientific, and they're very assured of themselves, so they're very prideful and kind of consider themselves the smartest, most talented race in all of Tyria. So when you play, you first choose which of those five races you're going to create your character from. Then you choose if it's either male or female, and then you choose your profession from there.
And you have, do you have all of them? Is that
I have characters that are all five of the classes. I have characters that are all nine of the professions. I do not have one of each of the five, but for 45 total characters. That's crazy talk.
That is crazy.
That's
talk.
Beyond. That would cost somewhere around $500-$600.
That is just a bridge too far.
And that's Tales from Tyria.
Yeah.
Are you Googling it right now?
No,
what are you looking up there?
I get this ready for you. Oh, that's not where I wanted to go.
Did you buy the?
Yeah.
Oh, here we are. I see. Yeah.
And now. It's not as good as the other one. You know what I'm going to go back and get?
I like this, though. This is good.
It's fun. It's good. Oh, but they don't have it. Why don't they have it?
Are you trolling iTunes right now?
Yeah. This is, I mean, we could still talk, but I'm trying to find, let's just do it.
Are you on DivX right now, downloading your movies?
Is that all right?
You need a, phone line to do that.
Uh-oh. So this is going to be you breaking down. But we haven't even gotten to the second movie, right?
No. Well, we're not doing the film. So my proposal is that the original prequels, or the prequels of the Star Wars trilogy, are out of alignment with the original trilogy. And with some reimagining, we can look exclusively at the original trilogy and understand what we were expecting to see in the prequels. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about what could have been and not a lot of time talking about what happened and why we don't like it. That's not the focus of this. This is our opportunity to let go of what those movies were and imagine what it would have taken for them to exist in the same universe as the original trilogy, because it kind of feels like they got rebooted when they made a prequel. And I love this project so much that I wrote it, so I'm going to read it.
Get it to us.
Are you gonna? And then you can outroll me with music and
I'm
have
ready.
Reactions. Here we go.
I think I've got a good song you're going to
also,
like.
we name each of these in the same style as the Star Wars and Flash Gordons. This episode, part two, is called Journey Through the Ellipsis Galaxy. In order to properly reimagine the Star Wars prequel films so that they fit into the same continuity of the original trilogy, we have to reimagine the arc of the published episodes 1, 2, and 3. We're not just thinking outside the box here. We're burning the box in effigy, like in a loving
like a
way.
Viking fuel.
Yeah, like with a moot. Since we have the benefit of knowing that there are three whole movies before A New Hope, we have a clear starting point. It's the end. The title, A New Hope, is the biggest clue. We know in the first three episodes that there was a hope, and it died. Then there's an ellipsis as the galaxy suffers in this darkness of death, as we suffer in the darkness of the death of that hope on a remote planet, Luke grows up to become this new hope. The real episode 3 ends with Uncle Owen and his now wife Beru holding their orphan nephew, looking wistfully into the setting suns and the future. But that last scene doesn't align with the codependent relationship found in A New Hope. It's almost as if in A New Hope that they run an orphanage for one person, Luke. Owen treats Luke as if he were a burden that is finally old enough to work the fields, and Luke clearly resents them both. when he discovers stormtroopers that have ransacked his home and charred his caretakers down to skeletons, he's kind of sad for like 2 seconds. That could be the reaction of a crazy person, but we know that Luke is capable of compassion because when Obi-Wan Kenobi is struck down by Darth Vader, he takes to moping on the ship, and even Leia remarks, "You really miss him." To Luke, Obi-Wan Kenobi is a stranger. He's known him for a day, and yet Luke calls on his ghost regularly for guidance and wisdom. For the rest of the series, he never mentions his foster parents again. This all points to the origin of their broken relationship. Owen and Beru don't want him, which is why they never bother tricking him into calling them mom and dad. That's not out of respect for his real dad, because there's no evidence that Anakin is a blood relative of either Owen or Beru. They have vague ideas about his father. They might have even known Anakin Skywalker, but they don't know he's Darth Vader. When Luke expresses an interest to leave the farm, Beru remarks to Owen, "You can't keep him here forever. He's too much like his father." Now, if she knew that his daddy was Darth, it would have been more like, "Please kick that boy out of this house before he figures out how to force choke us in our sleep." Somehow, they have been persuaded to keep Luke. That's because, while desolate, Tatooine is a safe place. As Luke would say, if there's a bright center of the universe, you're on the planet it's farthest from. His reluctant foster parents can let him keep his famous last name, Skywalker. Based on Vader's attitude towards the young Skywalker in episodes 5 and 6, we know that he's invested in recruiting and or killing his son. Vader can't recruit him because he can't find him. There are countless worlds in this galaxy, but Luke is safe in this backwoods town on the outskirts of civilization among hermits far from the Empire's prying eyes. Now, this, of course, means that in our story, Anakin Skywalker is not from Tatooine. We'll get into that soon, but first, we need to figure out the other ellipsis in the story, because if Luke is safe on Tatooine, why isn't cinnamon bun-headed Leia with him? And we'll figure that out next time.
Oh, that doesn't... That leads, this is...
Dun, dun, dun!
That didn't work
this,
either.
This is
oh,
not...
I turned it down.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Reactions, rebuttals, remarks, considerations.
I did notice in the chat room that somebody said that they do believe that Anakin met the aunt and uncle in 2. I believe they met Anakin in 2.
Yes, and again, we are disposing of the prequels. Yes.
That's what I wanted to give you a chance to say. We're not like they didn't exist.
That's right. So we're pretending that we never saw the prequels.
They never happened.
That's right.
And we're shaking the Etch-a-Sketch and then we're saying, "Well, so let's go back at this knowing what we know only from the original trilogy."
That's right.
How would we build a story moving forward?
That's right.
And I think for me the biggest eye opener was the relationship with the aunt and the uncle and I think it's a much more interesting dynamic to explore, I think. I guess I don't know if you could do it earlier on, but the point is that it's much more interesting to watch that relationship and kind of explain why it is they could be charred, because one would assume that the real reason why it happened is because I don't want to spend time on this. Well, okay, yeah, they're dead. Now he has to leave.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We can get to the
story. That's the real. Because if this movie was done, A New Hope was done today, there are 2 very critical missing scenes from them. One is where we care about Beru and Owen, because there is nothing. There's no moment where Beru turns to Luke and be like, "You know, I know Uncle Owen is tough on you, but we love you, son. You're like a son to us. You mean so much to us. Please give him, we just need you as part of the family." There's none of that for us to care about her, so that when she dies, we don't care. We don't care, and he doesn't care. The other missing scene is Alderaan. We never care about Alderaan. It just blows up, and people are sad. So if that movie was done today, we would see those scenes. That movie, it didn't exist that way. So that's all story, raw material sitting on the table. And in the prequels that we saw, Beru and Owen are just sort of like placeholder, almost like watching a history report. Like, oh, we knew that there were these characters and they take the sun. We don't experience what their emotions are in it. And that's what we're imagining. Like, why would there be this codependent relationship on Tatooine? How do those people get that infant?
Because I think it was just so simple. It was easier to say, well, he's a teenager, and so he's naturally being a rebellious jerk, no matter what they did. And that's why he's like, you know what, go.
Right. But you have to ask, even at face value, you still have to look and see that there's a second layer to that. Why is he there? Why is this boy, knowing what we know about the rest of the series, how is he why is he on this planet?
Right.
How is that hidden? And because people know his name, he's able to move about freely.
Is there any chance that, well, and I'm sorry if I'm incorporating the new trilogy, but he doesn't. No, he knows he's the father because he says
he knows it from the father. He's been looking for him. It has always bothered me since day one when we saw Phantom Menace that Anakin was from Tatooine, because I thought, why wouldn't figure this out? If you knew the prequels and you know that Anakin becomes Darth Vader, right, in those prequels, why doesn't on day five he go looking for Obi-Wan Kenobi to kill him then as Darth Vader with the might of the Empire behind him and take Luke Skywalker and raise him as his own? That would be the next logical step in the trajectory of the original prequels. It doesn't align sliding backwards looking from A New Hope.
Unless the last place he would look would be the place that he would be the most, you know what I mean?
Like,
but to put it in there, I'm telling you.
That doesn't
say Google it. Just Google it.
That is story logic. That doesn't add up at all. I fight it. And here's the thing. We're going to be imagining stuff. So we get to pretend to be the writer of Star Wars. We're going to let go of some assumptions and look exclusively at the original trilogy to see what it's going to tell us about these prequels.
Can we still have Samuel L. Jackson in our new trilogy?
I haven't gotten there yet. That's been the challenging part about this, is I'm really showing my work to try to think about this and then give you my thoughts about it. Because it really this is all like one giant of information in my brain, and to put it onto paper in a place that other humans can understand it, it's been challenging. But I does Mace Windu appear in our prequels? I'd say probably. I think we're going to need that character.
I wanted so that if, for the very least, I would like to see. I'm tired of these Monday to Friday midichlorians on these Monday to Friday. Well, I can't remember the actual, when they cleaned up the snakes on the plane line. I just want something where he's tired.
Did he say Monday to Friday?
Well, when they cleaned it up for TBS.
Yeah.
Now I have to find it. But because I was thinking of this on the Gary and Shannon show, they play this for...
get these Monday to Friday snakes off this Monday to Friday plane. Is that the idea?
I think that's what it is. Samuel Jackson.
I like when they used to say slug in a ditch.
A plane.
TV. That's pretty clever. Monday to Friday.
Line. Because it's, you know, when they put things on cable, they can't say they're cursing, so they have to ADR it in.
With real Samuel Jackson or someone else?
I think.
Do they get like...
Well, you could be the judge.
Ooh, I like it.
Let's see. Hopefully there's...
We gotta clear the snakes out of the cockpit.
Yeah, clear the snakes out of the cockpit, yeah.
Enough is enough!
Google it.
Bandwidth.
Sorry.
About to open some freaking windows.
All right.
Okay.
Strap in! About to open some freaking windows.
Oh, that...
Friday, pray!
There we go, yeah.
Yeah.
And this Monday to Friday...
This is
snakes on this Monday.
Sorry.
This is the worst.
With these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday's plane.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
What's a monkey fighting snake?
I think it's the same as an MF one. Yeah. I was really tempted to say it. I really was tempted to say it. I am tired of these monkey fighting planes.
On this Monday to Friday snake.
I'm good at this. It's just dumb. All right, that's our show. You can send us an email to show@thegamerlandpodcast. If you want to tune in live, you can go to mixlr.com/gamerland. All you got to do is give an email and a password and then follow us. You can get a free app. You get a notification whenever we go live, which is usually Mondays at around 8 p.m. Pacific. If you want to join the Discord group and chat and maybe be selected, we'll jump back and forth between the phone number and being selected.
Yeah.
But you could go to the bit.ly/gamerland. Gamerland Discord. Thank you, Ryan. He anticipated it and put it in the chat room right as I was about to say it. But I'm a professional, Ryan, and I had it memorized now until next week. You can follow Kevin. Don't forget Twitch.tv/...
The Kevin Miller. I've gotten I'm getting likes regularly on it. And here's the deal. I'm really excited to play some Sly Cooper. So if we get 500 followers on the Twitch channel, I'll start streaming those Sly games. And I really want to play it. Like, I'm starting to miss Sly and the gang. So follow me so we can play it together.
So all you got to do is once he's hit 500, then you're going to start Twitching. I'm going to start Twitching.
Yeah, that's right. That's all it takes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That to me, to watch the guy being the guy.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only way it gets better is if you could have Murray and Bentley just off mic telling you what to do.
Why would you promise that? Oh, that's funny, though.
That's what you do when you get 10,000 followers.
Oh, yeah. 10,000 followers, we do that.
That's when you can go, you know what? It's worth throwing a plane flight to these a-holes and getting them in here.
For 10,000 followers, absolutely.
Right?
Because then there's some cash.
That's doable, that's too.
We'll make that happen.
All right. And I think that's it. All right. So, on behalf of Kevin Miller, it's Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.